Coast Eagles, and we're here to show you why. We're the big birds, kings of the big game. We're the Eagles, we're flying high.
Anyway, that was the Eagles theme song for to start the podcast.
Thanks so much. Don't get too excited.
Dane, did we enjoy that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was needed, just saying. They did win their waffle team first time in 660 days, so I thought that was very necessary to start the podcast.
It's a good weekend for the Eagles.
It's a good weekend for the Eagles.
Yeah, and I did also play their old theme song because I just thought it's just better.
More appropriate. It's more vintage. It back, is. You know, it reminds me of when they were good previously.
And you're wearing your Street X Eagles.
I am. Just repping for this because they did win. So both AFL and Waffles. It was an exciting day yesterday.
I'm sure the office, the Eagles office, is absolutely pumping this morning.
Yes. Yeah.
Out at MinRes. That's where they're based, right?
A bit of both.
MinRes,
yeah. We are back here again for round three. You're with me, Sian Wakefield, Dane Metham and Sally Marshall. Doing a recap of all the games that we had in round three, and you did just hear the Eagles' old retro theme song. How are we all?
Good, thanks, Sian. It was a really good weekend for Waffle. If you were one of the Waffle script writers, you'd be pretty happy if you've seen the meme where the guy's writing with fire coming off the pen.
No, I have not seen that.
Anyway, if you're a Waffle script writer, that is how it felt because every game was pretty good.
We had four games within a goal.
We did, yeah. Pretty tight for everyone.
A few big things to note is East Perth taking their first loss of the year. Stay on top of the ladder. South Freo getting a really close win. Claremont still winless. The only winless team, in fact. Subi in West Perth. Subi win again. West Perth take their first loss. Perth get another win after their win in round one. And West Coast Waffle, obviously. Sian, you can talk about that.
A couple of us went out. Dane, you were tracking the South Freo versus Claremont game pretty closely. What have you got for us?
Yeah, so it was a really good game, actually, Sally. So what actually happened is the South Freo got out to about a 40-point lead in the first quarter, which was insane. And then as the game went on, they sort of fell off and Claremont came right back, almost winning it. In the last quarter, I think there was only one goal kicked and the rest of it was like Claremont kicked like 9 points or something ridiculous and ended up going on to lose by a point. Just bizarre.
And like, Oliver Eastland had his 100th game.
Zach Strom kicked 5 goals again, so he's been on fire for the last couple of weeks for South Freo, but it was just really weird. It was a 40-point lead one way, and then it swung back the other way, and it ended up being just a really scrappy, tight finish.
Yeah, so we're calling that a good game of footy?
I think it was definitely a watchable game of footy or entertaining game of footy. Yeah, I'd say that was good. It wasn't like a low-scoring dour affair. It just got really weird. So we're here with star South Fremantle midfielder Tom Bletchenden. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Anytime, no worries at all.
Tom, you grew up in Pingerley. Can you give us a bit of a rundown on that?
Yeah, so I'm from a farm out in Pingerley. It's about 30 k's east of Pingerley, and Pingerley's probably about 200 kilometres east of Perth. Yeah, I grew up there as a young fella. I sort of played all my junior football for Brookton Pingerley Footy Club, and then when I got to year eight, I moved up to Perth and went to Aquinas College. So I boarded there for 5 years and, I loved my time at Aquinas. And then, I still obviously try to get back home where I can and, give Dad a hand on the farm and that. But, that was sort of my upbringing. I sort of went through the ranks out in the country.
Are you an aspiring farmer or footballer?
I think I'm sort of weighing it up at the moment. A bit of both. I love my time out on the farm. You know, it's quite peaceful out there. It's certainly a different lifestyle to what it is up here. But I think maybe one day once football's all finished and stuff, there's probably a high chance I could end up back out that way.
And what was the football scene like in Pingerley?
It's certainly different. You know, you go to country footy games, you have your juniors, your Colts, your Reds, then your A grade, and sort of everyone parks their car around the oval, and it's quite a nice atmosphere out there, actually. And I started playing off like the juniors and sort of moved my way up right up into the league team, and then I went away. Yeah, as I said, I went away to school. So.
And how was it like? Obviously, you went to boarding at Aquinas, so how did playing in the PSA change your game?
Yeah, the PSA is huge. The PSA is such a good competition. Getting up to Aquinas, you realise, when you're in the country, you might not play against quite as many footballers, and once you get up to Perth, you realise how many other really good footballers there is, and I think playing in the PSA really developed my football, and it's got me to where I am today.
Cool. All right, so Tom, we'll move on to then how South Freo were going. Obviously, you've had a reasonable start to the year, but Saturday's game was a little bit strange. Can you talk us through how you were feeling throughout that?
Yeah, mate, definitely. We started off really well, and I think we kicked at least the first 5 goals of the game, and everything seemed to be going pretty well, but Claremont, you know, they're a quality side, so they were always going to come back. And yeah, as they did, they came back and came strong. And in that last quarter, we only just held on. Someone was saying, I think they had about 8 or 9 scoring shots to 1 in that last quarter. So yeah, it might not have been the best looking win, but it was ugly and we held on. And the main thing was we held on and got 4 points. So yeah, it was pleasing.
And where do you think South Freo are heading?
Yeah, we're on the up, if you ask me. I think we had a bit of a down week against East Perth round 1, but since then we've played some pretty good football. Even in the scratch matches before round 1, we played some pretty good football. So, yeah, we got a few boys back this year and a few imports and that. And I think, yeah, if we can get our, you know, get our game plan down packed and everyone starts playing well together as a team, I think we'll be up there by the end of the year.
Bletchy, a few years ago, you obviously played in a premiership with South Freo, and then you guys had a lot of sort of retirements or guys moving on, so which has opened up a spot in the midfield for you. Obviously had a really good season last year. How do you feel you're sort of adapting now to league football?
Yeah, as you said, I played in that premiership a few years ago now, but I was only just finding my feet back then. But as the years have gone on, I've sort of, you know, established a spot in the team and managed to play some decent football. And I think as I'm getting older and, you know, everyone's sort of developing around me, we're all starting to gel as one a lot better. And I'm playing, you know, starting to play better football as we go. So I've really been enjoying it, been enjoying my role in the team. And I think, yeah, there's bright things coming for South, so it's good.
That's good. And for you then, how many votes are you polling in the sand over, do you think?
This year?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, I'm not too sure. I haven't given it too much thought, to tell you the truth. I'm more invested in just getting South back up to where they should be. We had a bit of a down year last year, so, you know, all my thoughts going towards that at the moment. I haven't given it too much thought about the sand over.
And who should we be looking out for at South Freo other than yourself?
Oh, there's plenty of boys. You know, we've got Hayden Sloyth back. Everyone knows who he is. He's had a good start to the year. And Matty Parker's had a pretty good start to the year. Then we've got a few good imports, like Lukey Polson's been playing well up forward. And, yeah, I know I've missed a couple as well, but there's plenty of boys that are really putting their hands up and really, you know, pushing South in the right direction.
That's good. Do you guys have anything else left for Bletchley?
Yeah, who makes you a better player in your team, do you reckon?
Hayden Sloyth makes me a better player. He's always passing me the ball. He looks after me.
And what do you do outside of footy?
I do carpentry. So my boss is actually Brock Higgins, who used to play at South as well. So sort of got the job through him. And, he looks after me. He's really good.
Was carpentry always the passion outside?
Not really. I'm actually only an apprentice still. So it's only my second year into it. And, I never really gave it too much thought until I started, to be honest. But ever since I started, I love it, yeah. And, yeah, Brock's really good. And, yeah, I love my job. And, yeah, I'm loving life at the moment. It's awesome.
Loving life.
Good man.
Cool.
Love it. All right, well, Bletchy, thanks so much for your time, mate. You've obviously become one of the best players in the competition, and we really enjoyed talking to you. So good luck for the rest of the season. Good luck to South. Good luck to yourself on sand overnight, because I think you might be up there.
Glad you're loving life too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Perfect. Thanks, Bletchy.
Good luck, mate.
No worries. See ya.
So the Royals played Peel in Peel, and it was unfortunately the Royals' first loss of the year. However, they are remaining on top of the ladder. The score was 69-53. It was Peel's second win for the year. Obviously, it's important to note that they made the grand final last year, but they did lose. Peel also had a few Freo players in their lineup, including Heath Chapman and Will Brody, which probably helped their side a little bit.
Yeah, but they did also lose the week before to Subi, and they had both of them in the game last week.
I think for Peel, maybe more so than West Coast, their results probably fluctuate a little less. They're going to be consistently pretty good because their local guys are actually waffle-level players. They're not pulled out of amateurs like some of West Coast are. Not that they're bad, but their higher standard, but the Freo, especially Freo away games, if guys get taken as emergencies, they'll often find that they might be a little short on their top-end talent. But yeah, some of those Freo guys are obviously fighting for a spot in a AFL team that's
Doing pretty well.
So it's hard. So they're going to be playing at probably a pretty high standard. So I think Peel will win a lot of games off the back of having really good top four or five players.
And we mentioned that the Royals are probably on the top of a few of our lists to win this year. So, yeah, them losing this game, is it putting them back, do we think?
I don't think so. Like, as I said to the guys in round one, I think it's actually really even. And as we get, as we delve more into this, I think you'll find that a lot of teams are beating other teams, especially West Coast, who were probably tipped by a lot of people to be really quite bad, actually relatively competitive. And Claremont, who haven't won a game, are actually probably not as bad as suggest. They're losing every game by, well, they lost a couple of games by a close margin. They obviously got smashed last week by East Frere, but I think the competition's actually even, so I think we'll find that there's not going to be any standout top of the ladder team like there was last year.
It'll just fluctuate each week of who wins and who loses. Yep. And then we had Subi versus West Perth, which I did go to the game on Saturday. Again, close margin, Subi 69, West Perth 65. West Perth did have 17 behind, so that was huge for them. They could have probably easily won if they didn't have so many behinds. And then what else did we have, Dane?
My Mighty D's at the Waffle Wonderland game get their second win of the year. Huge one against the Swannies, who are actually probably their biggest rival traditionally. Yeah, look, there's not a lot to say on this game. It probably wasn't overly inspiring. It was a close finish, but Perth probably should have put Swans away after three-quarter time. But as typical with Perth Demons, they usually win games by a couple of points and then lose by a fair few points, and so
bold statement, Dane.
I can say I've been watching it for my whole life.
Yeah,
the
passion's coming.
Typically,
the passion
how it
is
goes.
There, yes.
But yeah, their big issue is going to be if they end up on 10 wins for the year, their percentage is probably going to be like 90, whereas some teams will really put others away, and I think that's going to be, they're just going to have to win a lot of games or start belting teams.
Yeah, let's hope they can do that one.
Yeah, otherwise, good game. Just want to give a mention, Charlie Constable, he is unbelievably good. He's had 29 touches again. I think if we were on Sandover watch, he's probably polled votes in their first three games.
And then we have the game, I think, of the round, which is Eagles versus the Sharks. And Dane, you did say last week that it would be a belter for East Freo. And did that happen?
Yeah, it did.
No, it did not.
Metaphorically speaking, it did.
The Eagles actually won 95-91, which is, like we said, 660 days of not winning for the Eagles. But we do have to mention Dom Sheed and Liam Ryan were in the pack for the Eagles team. So, look, it could have been a little unfair, but still a great win for the Eagles, I would say. Trey Ruskoff got 3 goals and Harry Johnston got 2 for the Eagles. And Hagen got 2 for East Sharks and Laura got 2 as well.
Yeah, look, for West Coast, fourth year in the comp, the last 2 years have had that injury with the injury play.
It's been 5 years, 2019.
All right.
Yeah.
The last few years they've been plagued with injury from the AFL side, so all those Waffle guys have been playing up. I think now that there's competition for spots in the AFL team, some of the lesser-known players in the AFL have been pushed down to play Waffle, which is making the Waffle team better. And that's kind of why I thought they'd be more competitive this year. Dom Sheed is obviously very clearly not a Waffle level player.
No, and Liam Ryan as
well. And Liam Ryan. I think despite not having huge stats, from what I understand, they genuinely dominated.
Yeah, that's what I heard as well.
And that's probably hard to beat if you are a Waffle team. And I think that's always been one of the debates of having the two AFL clubs affiliated is if you get unlucky to verse them in a week where they've got 4 or 5 good AFL players, like even like Jai Cully and Jermaine Jones are much better, even Zane True as well.
Yeah.
If you verse them that
week. And
Clay
Hall as well, like coming up, he's going to be good.
Exactly right. So if you're even Trey Russell, if you're versing him in the wrong week, you can ruin, it's a win that you might get taken off you because they have a stronger team than you'd expect.
But you can also say that about Peel too, having those boys in as well. So it's a bit of a tough one.
It's both, yeah.
But it is good for the comp to have the Eagles getting actually back into it.
It is good for the comp. I think more competitive teams is obviously going to be better, and especially guys who play resis at other clubs. If they do get to sign for West Coast, they get an opportunity at a league level. I think more league teams is always going to be better than having less.
So it'll be up to debate if they will get their club still going in the league or not.
Now, I'm just going to throw it back to something we mentioned on the podcast last week. I did talk about Harley Reid and how we bumped into him and posed him with the question of if he would ever be interested in coming on the Monday Waffle. We put a poll out to our followers on Instagram, and all I can say, it was a pretty even yes and no response from the poll.
Well, I voted no. As much as I'd like to talk to him, I can't think of an angle that would make it relevant to this podcast, although I think he'd be a lot of fun. But what's happened is you might not be able to get a hold of him now. He played too well. He might have forgotten who you are.
Yeah.
You know, now
actually
he's too
could
good.
Be rising star nom for this week's round.
And you know what? Even though I brought it to the pod, I do think that we should leave the man alone. I think he's getting enough attention.
He's not really in the waffle either.
No, it's totally not relevant. But, you know, sometimes you just got to chuck the line out there and see what you can get.
I think he's lapping it up. I think he actually enjoys the attention, to be honest.
He looked like he enjoyed that post-interview that he did after the game.
Very well media trained for someone who's...
I reckon he just loves the media. That's probably why.
No, I reckon he's humble.
Either way, I think he's having a good time. Look, if we can find something, I don't think he's going to get dropped to Waffle now.
No, he's not.
To be honest.
I don't think he ever was going to. He's probably one of their top five best players.
There's a story of when Chris Judd first played. He spent one game in the Waffle and did he kick like five? Someone listening might know better. From memory, he kicked five and just literally chopped up as an 18-year-old or something. And they just went, all right, he's never going to play at that level ever again. I would suggest that it might have been a similar story with Harley Reid if he played.
Yeah, maybe to humble him a little bit.
Yeah, maybe if we're versing it, if the Eagles verse a hard team, like a good team, like a GWS again.
When they're like, we already know we're going to lose.
Put him in the waffle, let him kick nine, just have a bit of fun, I don't know.
Yeah. All right, so I did go to the, like I said, the West Perth vs Subi game on Saturday. Quite a tight game. Interesting to watch. Well, I did actually ask the media team if I could talk to Connor West. And then when I went up in pro stream, I was like, do you know about the Monday Waffle? And he was like, yeah, seen the reels. And I was like, oh, have you seen the Greg Clark one? And he was like, nah. And we kind of talked about how you're next. And he looked a bit like perplexed of like, okay, I don't really understand.
You're next. It's like victims. You're taking me.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Dane. Last week you mentioned...
All right, so Sian, you've gotten the trifecta. How many references you got? Because your resume is becoming long. First week, Zach Mainwaring caught him from the boundary line making eye contact, of which he didn't remember. Second week, jumping up and down in front of poor old Greg Clark, who's just trying to do his post-game recovery. Now Connor West is, you're next. Did you see what
I was not Greg in Clark? A creepy voice,
you're
okay?
Next, Connor, you're next.
Guys, I'm not creepy. It's fine.
No wonder he looked perplexed.
All right, sorry.
Yeah, just a PSA. I'm actually not creepy. I actually interviewed him. So let's give him a listen. So I'm here with Connor Rest from West Perth. How are you, Connor?
Yeah, good, thanks. A bit disappointed that we got the loss, but proud of the boys' efforts. So
you actually played such a great game just as a team. It was, unfortunate loss. What do you think you guys did wrong?
Oh, I think just our goal kicking let us out in the end. You know, I think we kicked 16 behind. So, if we had to kick them straight, I think, could have been a different story. But credit to Subi. You know, they're a strong side. And, we had five changes this week. So super effort from the boys to claw back and stay in it all week, all games. You know, we had two guys playing their debut. So, proud of the boys' efforts. But, unfortunately, we couldn't get the win.
And what are you going to take away from this?
I think we'll just take away that, our game plan and how we want to move the ball is working. We just got to obviously work on our set shots and goal kicking and hopefully, can steer us in the right path.
In the moment during the game, did you feel like you had the chance to win?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a period there we were on top. Like I said before, we just couldn't execute the goals. But, we'll keep building on that. We'll review it, see what we need to work on and, try and just get in front next time.
Yeah, and you did quite a few tackles and a bit of a groveling for the ball. Do you enjoy that? Is that like your favourite part of the game?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I think it's just part of my craft and something that I try to, just play my role and that's my role for the team. So if I can be good at that, then, it helps us win.
When you're in the huddles, what do you guys talk about? Do you do warm and fuzzies?
What's a warm and fuzzies?
You know what a warm and fuzzy is? It's like when you write like little notes or like say little like really nice things to people.
A little bit. Like we just try and, say what we're doing positive, what we need to work on. I suppose we give boys some credit if they're doing well. But mainly just what we need to keep working on and how we can win.
Listening to that, Dane, do you know what a warm and fuzzy is?
That was the first I've actually heard of a warm and fuzzy. Struggling to work out why they would do that.
Because they're all like huddling together, you know, they're like quite serious and you just like, what do you talk about in them? You're giving each other pep talks.
They just
like,
say, I love you, mate. Yeah, literally. Whatever happens.
Yeah. You know,
Dane, if you had to give a footy player a warm and fuzzy, what would you tell them?
Oh, you look good, mate. I can't say it.
You look good.
On that
note,
I love
watching you run around.
You're running around the field a lot.
So on that note, I actually wrote Connor West a warm and fuzzy. Do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear it? Yeah. You're quick on your toes and can put on a show. Tackles, gathers, kicks and goals. The Falcons welcome back the new heart and soul. Stepping up to be a leader in the huddle. But sometimes even the greats need a cuddle. So here's my warm and fuzzy for you. Connor West, the best from the West. So there we go, Connor. My warm and fuzzy for you.
I have no words, Sean.
Did you read that to him?
No, okay. No. Just to you guys.
Okay. What made you
do that?
Well, he told me he didn't know what a warm and fuzzy was. So I was like, well, I'll give him one.
Do you think so?
That's more of a poem, Sean.
As I say, do you imagine they stand around in a circle and the coach in the middle and they all pull out their notes from their socks or something and they read it and they this one's to you, Connor. You're warm on your toes. What was it?
Quick on your toes.
You're quick on your toes. And then he goes, thanks, mate. This one's for you, Blackie. You are the captain of the team.
You are not mean.
Yeah. And they
you
just
are
go around.
A dream.
They just go around like that. Then again, that might be the secret. Maybe they can.
Maybe they didn't do it that game and that's why they lost.
There's no game this week, but no. Maybe if they do it the week after, they might win. I'm not a footballer, so I don't know if that would work. I think it would definitely get me fired up. Yeah,
there we go. Maybe that's what they need to do. After Connor West, I did actually interview Kane Bevan, who made an unfortunate kick. So he got a free kick right in front of the goalpost and he then hit the goalpost instead of getting it straight through the goals. But then he turned it around like a minute or two later and he did get a goal, which was quite nice for him. I did interview him about it, being like, how does that happen? But didn't really want to play it here because I think it was just a bit too sad for him. But you know what? That's okay. Like, you know, you win some and you lose some. And he did both. He won and he also lost. But I don't think it really matters sometimes when you do kicker behind or whatever. He played well for the team.
I think having fun with your friends is the real winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Goals behind. Goals come and go. Friendships are forever. As long as he has fun with his friends,
that's
then it doesn't really matter.
I love the emotional
that's
side.
That's the most random thing that has come out of your mouth.
Why?
Is it?
That I've known you. I mean, it's the most emotion that I've...
No, his Regan Clark plug was a bit emotional.
The warm and fuzzies have got me in the mood for some positivity.
Fuzzy?
Yeah.
Oh, dang. Yeah.
But anyway, the hugs go out to Bevan there. Mm. Keep doing you, bro.
How many hugs does Tyler Keitel get for kicking 6 points, Sean?
Oh, he gets two.
Especially with Mark saying he was going to, Redding saying he was going to be the leading goal kicker of the year.
He'll still be up there, but that, obviously inaccuracy costs the Falcons, and that's...
You know what? Connor said they need to practice their goal kicking, so it's great practice then.
Next week, we're going into round 4, so a majority of the clubs have a bye, but we will see the Eagles play Peel Thunder on Saturday at Optus Stadium. Sean, you're, I'm assuming, going, being the big Eagles supporter you are.
I sure am, and I'm excited because I can go into their change rooms with the media pass, so that will be so exciting.
At Optus, I mean, that would be an experience in itself.
Yeah, Sally, where are you going?
I think I'll be heading down to the Claremont Subi game, that Revo Fitness Stadium Claremont.
You don't want to join me at Optus?
I possibly could, but Waffle Wonderland is on down at Claremont.
It's a tough decision.
Yeah, so obviously Waffle Wonderland's a great initiative that the Waffle are doing, bringing together, you know, the fun of football, you know, having activities for kids, everything from DJs, food trucks, you know, your rides. For the adults, they actually have a gin pop-up cocktail station, which is kind of a vibe. Outdoor stage... I don't know, I just reckon it could be kind of banter.
I mean, we did try to see if Dane went for a boogie last time, but he didn't.
I'm more interested in seeing Dane on a bouncy castle. I think that would be entertaining.
That would be funny. Do some jumps?
Yeah, so anyway, that'll be an interesting game. So do you feel, Dane, the Claremont and Subi will be an interesting game?
I think it will be, and Claremont are not as bad as their results suggest. They've been very close to winning two games. They got smoked by East Freo. Zach last week, he said they'll just put it behind them and move on. I think they can take it up to Subi. I think that's actually two evenly matched teams despite where they're on the ladder, so I think it would probably be worth going and have a look. Is that at Revo?
Yeah. Do you want to come?
Claremont home game.
No, come to the Eagles one with me.
Wow, Jesus. All right, girls, hang on.
Oh.
Maybe I'll get to both.
They're at the same time.
Yeah. No, I probably won't go to the Claremont Subi one. Actually, I was playing golf at the golf course next to it the other day. I was like,
did you like your golfing experience then?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. So it's a par three course, so it's
I don't know what that means.
Neither.
It's pretty forgiving. The holes are small, basically.
Right.
So you know.
So it's boring.
No, it's good because if you play on big courses in golf, you know, when you're not very good like I am, there's not a lot of room for error. So if you stuff something up, you just, you know, you're whacking the ground and whacking trees and stuff, and it's like, it's not a fun experience. So when it's more forgiving, it's
I'm sure their groundsman would like that.
You didn't actually answer the question. Are you going to any of the games?
Yeah. Will you go to the one at Optus?
Does Media Pass get us into that? So,
yeah, it does.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna out myself here. Yeah. Theoretically, let's say the game sold out, the AFL Derby, sorry.
Yeah.
If you wanted to walk in with your Media Pass to the Waffle game beforehand and then just not leave.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to do.
You could do that?
I reckon. I'm going to do it.
I was going to suggest once you're in, you kind of, they're not rounding people up, are they?
No. I don't know if we can really advocate this on the potty, though.
If we're going as media, I think we need to dress a little more like media.
Yeah, I'll wear like these pants.
Well, that'll do it. They wouldn't kick you out with those pants.
Yeah, they won't.
Maybe a little blazer number or something.
I think that's too much for footy.
I think if you just wear your Eagles jumper, no shirt underneath, just guns out.
I don't have guns.
You know. I think that would do the job.
Yeah, okay.
Let's say this person's a fan.
Aim is to just stay for the derby and also quietly go into the actual AFL change rooms and say hi to McGovern.
Why him?
Because he's my favourite player of all time, if anyone did not know that.
I don't see how it couldn't work, to be honest. I think that does work.
How many people that are going along to watch the game have the same idea as us?
Not many, because not many people have media passes.
Yeah, but you're also right that I suppose you could buy a waffle ticket and then just stick around. But maybe that's the point. Maybe that's why it is sold out. Well, to be fair, it's actually probably double passes, to be completely honest. We'll have
you
to
reckon?
Check that.
I
would say so, because otherwise that's too hard to police. Because if you buy a ticket to a $20 waffle game and get a $60 AFL ticket out of it.
I was looking a couple weeks ago and they were going for like 100, 120.
Look, obviously, something we didn't mention, there's only two games on next week because it's the AFL Derby. So Peel and West Coast are playing a curtain raiser to the AFL game. That's why I'm thinking it's a double-header ticket. And you're paying for the Eagles-Freo game, but you're attending, you're getting the option to attend both. That's what I would think.
Yeah. Oh, my God, I'm excited.
Let's Google it.
I'm not finding anything for this, but I'm just going to say it as fact anyway.
So that is the Monday Waffle, Episode 3, recapping Round 3. We'll be heading into Round 4 this week. Good luck to the four teams that are playing, and the rest of them enjoy their bye. You've been listening to Sean, Sally and Dane. Catch you next time.
Catch ya.
Oh, see ya.
Bye.
Oh, just a little plug. Happy birthday to McGovern. Hope you have a great day.
I'm not going to acknowledge that at all.
All right.